It is on.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin. This gotta be
a dream. Hey, 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 it's Monty, and this is the Rockcast.
It is ridiculous.
Welcome to my year-end special. And you know, I usually do a holiday special this time of year, but this time of year, who really has time? Everyone's running around spending money that they don't have on presents that they can't afford. And I just started buying stuff online because who wants to deal with all that Black Friday crap? I mean, I am not about to get up at 2 in the morning and go to Walmart and battle a bunch of people so I can save $10. It's just not worth it. So this year on Black Friday, I just stayed home. And I said, you know, I got a couple days off here. I'm just going to record some songs. So I got everything set up, hit the record button, and my whole computer went blue screen of death. Oh yeah, if you've got a Mac, you know what I'm talking about. You never want to see the blue screen, because that means it's over. And the only thing you can do is take it to the Apple Store and have them fix it. I know this because it happened to me once before about 2 years ago, and it cost me $500 to get it repaired. So that was incredibly depressing, and I would have taken it straight to the Apple Store that day, but we were having an ice storm here in Kansas City. So I called him and made an appointment for the next day. And on Saturday, when I go out to get in my vehicle to drive downtown, I realize, oh, the Hellmobile has a flat tire.
Serenity now!
Yeah, as most of you know, I drive a 95 Nissan Pathfinder, and it is a piece of crap that is literally held together with tape. And so what's new? It's got a flat tire. And so I end up using Lindsay's car to drive to the Apple Store. And I hand my laptop to one of the geniuses there, and he says, yep, we're going to have to send this off and get it repaired. And so I leave it, drive all the way back home, where I start working on that tire. And I buy some of that fix-a-flat stuff and put that in there and get it aired up. And so I thought, well, all right, we're all good. I'm going to relax. So I sat down and started watching TV when all of a sudden Lindsay comes in and goes, you're going to need to take me to the emergency room. And so we spent the evening at the hospital, and that was not fun.
I'm losing it.
But she's feeling better now, and I got my computer back from Apple, and it's working again. Unfortunately, the tire on the Hellmobile went flat again, and so I had to buy a whole nother tire.
Well, boo-hoo.
But even though the Thanksgiving weekend kind of sucked, the whole year wasn't that bad for me, I guess. I kept my New Year's resolution from last year intact, and I did not go to the gym once. In fact, I dropped my gym membership completely.
That's fantastic.
I also decided to stop drinking as much caffeine. And so I cut way back on the Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb and replaced it with Orange Gatorade. But as with any item that I like, all the stores in town decided to stop carrying Orange Gatorade. I have no idea what the deal is. You can still find Fruit Punch and that green stuff. But oh no, no orange to be found.
Absolutely fascinating.
But despite all those problems, I had a good year of podcasts. I got a lot of great questions and top tens and comments from you guys. And I also found out that there were a lot of people listening who I had no idea were listening. I heard from people I'd gone to high school and college with. And you remember on a recent episode, I told you I was painting houses?
Yeah, it's so sad.
Well, recently, the owner of the company comes up to me and says, hey, Monty, I heard your podcast. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I understand that painting houses sucks ass.
Uh-oh!
And I thought, you know, that's amazing because I've done 166 episodes up to this point. And I think that's the only episode where I've ever talked about painting houses. And you happen to listen to that one.
Lucky!
And so I may not be working for him much longer. But painting houses does suck ass, and I challenge anyone to prove me wrong.
You better believe it does.
You see, it's not just the work. A lot of times it's the customers, because they are some of the most nitpicky freaks on earth. And I'll give you an example. Recently there was a homeowner, and his name was Blackie. And he was just constantly riding us, wanting to know when we were going to be done, saying he wanted this and he wanted that, calling us all the time, and it was just really irritating. And after dealing with him for a couple of weeks, I just gotta say, I don't care much for Blackie.
Oh, hey.
What?
That is uncalled for.
No, that was his name, Blackie.
You're a racist.
Come on, he was a white guy. His name was Blackie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you see, I can say that. It's fine. And the truth is, Blackie's not that bad at all. I just couldn't resist that joke.
Ah, I get it.
Anyway, I kind of got off track there, but all that to say, it's been a good year for the Rockcast. And on this special episode, I will be talking about the year that was 2015. I will be giving out my annual Rockcasty Awards for the best and worst in everything. And, of course, it wouldn't be a year-end special without me counting down my top 10 favorite songs of the year.
Who wants to listen to that?
So let's get it started now at number 10. This is We Came as Romans with Regenerate.
To bring this back to a proper goal.
You know, I didn't think it was a great year for music, but that We Came as Romans CD was really good. And here's another song off of an album that really surprised me. This is the Backyard Babies with I'm On My Way to Save Your Rock and Roll.
Wake me when tomorrow's gone.
At number 8, it's a band that I really love, and I've seen them several times live. It's from Of Mice and Men, and the song is Never Giving Up. So that's 10 through 8 of my favorite songs of the year, and I will get back to that in a bit. But right now, it is time to give out some of the coveted Rockcasty Awards.
Yeah!
A few years ago, I thought, you know, they've got all these award shows like the VMAs and the Emmys and the Grammys. But they always give the awards to the wrong people, so why not have my own awards and call them the Rockcasties? That way I can honor people and events that truly deserve it, but at the same time I can take the opportunity to criticize, abuse, and ridicule the people and things that totally suck.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
All right. So let's begin with the first category, which is the most surprising thing in 2015. And the nominees are Neil Peart, or Peart, from Rush, announces that he's going to retire.
No! No!
I know I'm going to have to talk some of you down off of a ledge if this is actually true, but try to relax and stay calm and just remember, Neil gave you a lot of years of great music and great drumming, and it's not like you were ever going to actually meet him, but if you did, I'm sure he would hate you, like he hates all of his fans.
Great point.
The next nominee for most surprising thing of the year was the rumor that Guns N' Roses is getting back together to do a tour.
I say no, there's no way.
Yeah, I didn't think that would ever happen, and I still have my doubts. But if it does happen, I'm guessing it's going to be Axl / maybe Duff. And then name your list of side musicians, perhaps Bumblefoot.
Who is that?
But the most surprising thing of the year and winner of the Rock Casty, there was no Miley Cyrus sex tape.
I am shocked by this.
Well, not that I'm aware of anyway. And I thought after she showed a nipple on the MTV Music Awards, I figured that would be the next step. But she spent the majority of the year letting everybody know that she smokes pot. And so I guess we'll have to settle for that.
I'm very disappointed.
In the category of least surprising thing of the year, the nominees are Barack Obama giving a speech about banning all guns, and Bruce Caitlyn Jenner getting his own reality TV show. But by far the least surprising thing that I heard this year was that Scott Weiland of STP fame finally kicked the bucket. I never saw that coming, said no one. I mean, sure, it's a shame, but if Dave Mustaine tells you to stay away from drugs, you might want to listen. And while you're at it, stop being a douchey rock star. But while everyone is paying tribute to him for being such an amazing musician, just take a minute to think about how horrible he was live.
Whoa.
Seriously, did you ever hear him sing live? He sucked. Bad. But God rest his soul. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that is so nice.
On a more positive note, how about Best Podcast? Besides Monty's Rockcast.
We're sick of you!
Because we all know that the Rockcast is the best podcast in the history of mankind.
Wrong!
But there are other podcasts out there, I know, and I do listen to a lot of them. And my favorite one this year was The Josta Show. And if you don't know who Jamie Josta is, he's the singer for Hatebreed, and he used to host Headbangers Ball. And he's got a podcast now, and he interviews rock stars for the most part. And it is so interesting. It doesn't matter who it is. They're usually from really heavy bands. But he's done interviews with Devin Townsend. That was a great one. Rob Zombie, Zakk Wylde. And they're just always really informative. They talk about everything from religion to politics to music publishing. The other day, I found out that Andrew W.K. doesn't actually have a house. He lives in a hotel. And a lot of times, the people get really candid. For instance, he had Scully from Godsmack on recently. And I've heard for years that that Godsmack song, Cry Like a Bitch, was about Nikki Sixx. And apparently that was true, because he just went off on Nikki Sixx. He's like, I'll tell you straight up right now, that guy's a douchebag.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, so if you want to check out a cool podcast besides mine, check out The Josta Show.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Of course, being a big sports fan, I can't leave out Best Sports Moment, and the nominees are the Golden State Warriors beating the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals of the NBA playoffs, My apologies to all the listeners that live in Ohio or Cleveland, but watching LeBron James not only lose, but just get his ass beat was awesome.
Do you like LeBron James or not?
Another great sports moment for me this year was when Kobe Bryant announced that he was retiring from the game. Kobe is one of my least favorite players or people ever, and I will not miss watching him play or do interviews at all. But the winner of the Rock Casty and my favorite sports moment will not surprise any of you because it's the Kansas City Royals winning the World Series.
Hell yeah!
What a great team, what a great year, what a class organization. I love those guys.
Goody for you!
Now, the category for best movie is always a tough one for me because I almost never go to the movies. And I don't really watch that many movies at home either. And the only movie I went to this year at a theater was this movie with Johnny Depp in it. And he played a mobster. And I don't remember the name of it, but it was pretty good. And so the Rock Casty for Best Movie goes to that movie where Johnny Depp played a mobster.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Now, it might surprise you, but I really don't watch that much TV.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I just don't have time for such silliness like TV. And I'm really more of a reader.
You're a bald-faced liar.
But the rare times that I did watch, there were a few that were pretty good, including Bates Motel, which was a spinoff of the movie Psycho, Better Call Saul, which was a spinoff of Breaking Bad. But the Rock Casty for Best TV Show, for me, was Royals Baseball.
Yeah!
I watched virtually every inning of every game from April to November, and it was just great stuff.
It's a waste of your life!
However, the worst shows on TV in 2015 kind of had an American slant to them. Because you had stuff like the American Music Awards, American Ninja Warrior, and American Idol. And those were all bad, but my least favorite show that I was forced to watch was American Horror Story. It's disgusting, it's disturbing, it's sick, and my wife just loves it. But I just hate it, and after every episode, I say, okay, when does this season end? Because I can't wait.
They will never, ever, ever stop.
In the category of worst concert, the nominees are the Warped Tour, which I go to every year, and I always have loved it, but this year it was just way too hot, and we were miserable. But the winner of the Rock Casty is actually a show that I did not go to. But the mere lineup for this concert was so horrible that I knew I needed to give an award to the Under the Sun Tour, which included headliner Sugar Ray, Better Than Ezra, and Uncle Cracker.
Wow!
What, are you kidding me? No spin doctors? Were Fine Young Cannibals not available?
I guess not!
Of course, I did see some good concerts this year, including the Stones at Arrowhead Stadium. I had never seen the Rolling Stones, but the day of the show, some friends rolled through town and said, hey, we've got some tickets, you want to go? And we were like, yeah. And even though Mick and the boys are all in their late 80s to early 90s, we enjoyed it and a good time was had by all.
This is an especially big thing for people who are on Medicare.
Lindsay and I also went to see Steel Panther and they were great and hilarious as always. And if you've never seen them, they're basically a spoof of 80s hair metal. And they're more or less a celebration of the ridiculousness of that era. But just the banter in between songs alone is funnier than most of the comedians I've sat through at comedy clubs. But they're also great musicians, and when Satchel, their guitar player, does a guitar solo, it is amazing. He's playing guitar and drums at the same time. And while it's going on, you're just cracking up, and yet you're just mind-boggled at how good he is. And so Steel Panther, great show. But the best concert I saw all year and winner of the Rockcasty was Hollywood Undead.
Huh?
Once in a while, I love me some rap rock, and that show was so much fun. And coincidentally, at number 7 on my best songs of 2015 list is War Child by Hollywood Undead.
You're going to hate this.
Hey, don't be a hater, yo. It's just some white boys wearing some masks that are doing some rapping.
All I know is they're not good.
Favorite song number 6 is from another white boy, but as far as I know, he's not a rapper. It's from Jeff Lynne and ELO, When I Was a Boy.
When I was a boy, I learned to play. Far into the night and drift away. Don't wanna work on the milk or the bread. Just wanna play my guitar instead. When I was a boy, I had a dream. And radio waves kept me company in those beautiful days when there was no money. When I was a boy, I had a dream.
I think the first time I ever heard ELO, I was about 13 or 14 years old, and here he is still around making great stuff. Jeff Lynne, brilliant white dude. At number 5, once again, it's We Came as Romans. I love this band, and the song is Defiance. Continuing on with the Rockcasty Awards, the next category is Most Annoying Thing in 2015.
That would be you!
And the first nominee is Political Correctness. I am so sick and tired of the media and politicians and everyone basically telling me what I have to feel and what I have to think. The public schools are brainwashing the kids to believe all this crap, and everyone's afraid to say anything in fear that you're gonna offend somebody. And before we paint ourselves into a corner, could we just stand up and say enough? I've got a feeling there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way I do. And when you're told Bruce Caitlin Jenner is a courageous hero, you say, no. He's a dude with issues that's dressed up in women's clothes and he looks ridiculous.
What?
There, I said it.
I find this offensive.
The next nominee for most annoying in 2015 are protesters and people on strike. It seemed like every day this year, somebody was offended at something, and the only recourse was to go get a sign and hit the streets. And if that didn't work, break some stuff, start a riot, or do some looting.
Yeah! Woo!
And there was so much of that going on in Missouri this year that I'm pretty much embarrassed to live here now. You had those freaks in Ferguson tearing up their city. And then you had a bunch of students and football players at the University of Missouri who were somehow devastated because somebody said the N-word.
That's right.
I mean, really? If a racial slur can blow you out of the water that much, why don't you just move back home with your parents?
That's a hate crime.
I've also had it with these fast food employees going on strike. Listen, people, you work at McDonald's and Burger King because you're not qualified to work anywhere else. You don't need a higher wage, you just need to figure out how to keep the mustard off my burger!
Ah!
Those things are all indeed annoying. But for me, the most annoying thing of 2015 was my cat, Mr. Kitty.
Bonafide evil.
Yeah, I haven't given you an update on Mr. Kitty in a while, but with each passing day this year, I grew to hate him more and more. And for the life of me, I still can't figure out what the purpose is for having a cat living in your house. I mean, I know it's not the smell of that cat box, and Mr. Kitty basically doesn't want anything to do with any of the people living in this house. If anyone tries to pick him up or love him or pet him or anything, he just looks at you like, get the hell away from me. And so he's really just useless. And I've told you this before, but we got him one of these scratching post things. But instead of doing that, he just rips at the carpet. And he's just taken those jagged little claws and fiber by fiber destroyed the whole place. And I'll turn to my wife and say, what are you going to do about that? And she's like, I don't know. Isn't he adorable?
Of course he is.
And so if any of you have any ideas as to what to do about that, let me know. I've suggested giving him away or putting him to sleep, but that did not go over real well with Lindsay or the kids. But congratulations, Mr. Kitty. You've annoyed the crap out of me and won yourself a rock casty. All right, I'll have more rock casties in a minute, but let's get back to my top 10 songs of the year. And at number 4, it's Falling in Reverse with Guillotine 4, The Final Chapter.
From the depths of hell, it swallows me in. The demons of your life are dead. And they're pulling me in, pulling me in. This can't be happening. I've lost my whole world for
Wait.
So that was Falling in Reverse. I didn't think the whole album was great, but I loved that song. And I also loved this song by The Darkness. At number three, it's Barbarian. Number two on my list of favorite songs is by a band called Get Scared. The name of the tune is R.I.P. Rest in Peace. And to me, this song is about as close to perfection as you can get. And that would leave just number one on my list, but I'm going to make you wait for that. Because as excited as you are to find out my favorite song of 2015, I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, Monty, but what's your least favorite song of the year?
Nobody cares.
Well, let me tell you. Sure, I could have gone with something easy like a song by Nicki Minaj or Ariana Grande. But I dug deep and found something really horrible. And it came off of a country album by Bret Michaels of Poison. And the rock casty for worst song is a tune called Girls on Bars.
So round up all my friends, grab some salt and some lime. Tequila gets me feeling like a real good time. DJ, keep that music grooving, keep them girls' bodies moving. 'Cause boys like girls dancing on bars, and girls like boys driving fast cars. No matter where you're from or who you are, boys like girls dancing on bars. Come hot chicks, cold beer, let's keep the party rolling up in here. And cold beer, hot chicks, both feel good when they hit your lips.
Now that was a really bad album, but it did not win the Rock Casty for worst album. What did? Well, the nominees are Billy Gibbons, Perfectamundo, And don't get me wrong, I love Billy Gibbons with ZZ Top, but not this.
¿Dónde está el corazón?
Next on my worst CD of the year list, one that will not make a lot of you very happy, but it's the new Striper album.
Good Lord!
I had several guys tell me they thought it was awesome, and I'm glad you liked it, but I did not.
God should send you to hell.
But Striper were not the only 80s rock stars who put out an album that I did not care for. Because my least favorite CD of the year was by Danzig. He put out an album of cover tunes called Skeletons, and in my humble opinion, it was atrocious. You think that was bad? Well, here's Danzig doing his version of Aerosmith's Lord of the Thighs. Most of this CD sounds like it was recorded in a garage. And it's not that I hate punk rock, the Misfits were cool. But frankly, Danzig's singing is awful. And I know he could kick my ass for saying that, but chances of him hearing this podcast are slim to none, so I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, well, good luck.
So that was my least favorite CD of the year. What was my favorite? Well, I thought about it and I thought about it, and I'm not sure I really had one. There were a few that I thought were really, really good, but mostly it was a year of disappointments. And so to be honest, the one that I ended up listening to the most was a CD by a guy named Deuce. He used to be in Hollywood Undead, and this album was called Nine Lives, and it was released in 2012. And I know you're thinking, Monty, come on, you're a metal guy, what is this? But what can I say, when the kids aren't around and I want to get my groove on, I play a little Deuce.
Ride if you want to ride, later we can dance if you want to dance. Baby, I don't care if you got a man, save it, keep standing by my side, cause you know you're mine.
And now it's time for what you've all been waiting for, the best song of 2015.
We're all sitting here with bated breath.
When I went through my iTunes and looked at all the songs that I had heard this year, one song stood out way above all of the others. I connected with this tune on a very personal level. And why did it hit home with me so much, you may ask? Well, because I wrote it in my home. And here it is, the best song of the year. This song is called Mr. Kitty's Licking Himself. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Why does he do it? Because he can. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. All right! Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Why does he do it? Because he can. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Mr. Kitty's licking himself.
Kitty, kitty.
Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Why does he do it? Because he can. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. Why does he do it? Because he can. Mr. Kitty's licking himself. You know, I worked very, very, very hard on that song, and I'm very, very, very proud of it. And it's very, very deserving of a Rockcasty.
No, it's not.
Now, I always give you my New Year's resolutions, and one thing I'm going to try and do this year is get back to doing some music. And I told you I've been writing some songs, and a lot of you have assumed that I'm talking about a new Crunchy album. But that may not necessarily be the case. And I really can't say too much about it right now, but if everything works out, I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, can you imagine what that would be?
I also plan to eat more bacon this year. Because, God, is there anything better than bacon?
I don't think so.
It's so tasty, and I just don't feel like I've eaten enough of it. And I'm not Jewish, so why not?
Let's see you do it, then!
I'm also going to try and watch less TV during the day. I mean, let's be real. I'm still going to watch it at night, but maybe I can cut out some SportsCenter in the morning. But then again, no, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, that is crazy cuckoo.
But enough about me. I wanted to thank you guys for all your support over the last year. Many of you went to my website, MontyColvin.net, and bought my CDs, paintings, and Rockcast t-shirts. And shout-outs go out right now to Patrick Wolf and Casey, Jay Turner, Fabrice in France, Bruno in the UK, Steve Ellison, Paul in Florida, Dr. Nate, Gray Fowler, Ken Bell, Chris Archer, Derek Floyd, Ari in Finland, Scott Gibson, James Ross, my buddy Mark Walshack down in Texas, Scott Stevens, John Davison, and Christian in Germany. You guys all rule, and I really appreciate the love. I also want to thank everybody for all your emails and feedback that keep me supplied with all kinds of podcast fodder. I hope you'll continue to send me your questions and top tens in 2016 because I love hearing from you and I love each and every one of you.
You're sure about that?
Well, most of you anyway. Speaking of which, I got an email the other day from Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And as you know, David is very opinionated and he knows what he likes and it's usually very prog rock oriented. And so it was no surprise when he sent me his top 10 CDs of 2015.
Nerd written all over it.
Of course, he also sent 30 honorable mentions, and included on that list were Billy Gibbons and Stryper, which were two of my least favorite albums of the year. So we can see where this is going. Regardless, I will read David's top 10 list, which starts out at number 10 with the Foo Fighters. And David says, the Saint Cecilia EP was a great gift for the fans and better than Sonic Highways, which tried too hard with the theme. Well, I didn't hear this EP, David, but I'm sure you're right about Sonic Highways trying way too hard. Because if it's one thing that's been proven over the years, it's that Dave Grohl has no idea what he's doing.
If you don't see the sarcasm, look again.
Number 9 was an album by the Aristocrats, and number 8 is the Neil Morris Band, The Grand Experiment. And oh yeah, here we go with the proggy stuff. And David said, a cool idea where Neil didn't come in with the music already written, but his band came up with everything in the studio together. Well, yes, it's a well-known fact. That is the only proper way to do an album.
That was blazing sarcasm.
Number 7 is Clutch with Psychic Warfare. And number 6 is Echolin, I Heard You Listening. And David says, I love this band, but their last two releases haven't been quite as good to me. They are mellowing too much with age or something. And, well, I'm sure you're right, David, but the fact is, you're probably the only person listening right now who cares to know who Echolin is. But thank God you did not disappoint me with this next one, because no David Whiteman list would be complete without Spock's beard, which comes in at number 5.
Nerdy.
At number 4 on David's list, it's The Direction of Last Things by Intronaut.
Huh?
Number 3 is Scale the Summit with their CD V.
Huh?
And at number 2, finally, somebody I have heard of, it's POD with The Awakening. And David says, I have been pretty bored with concept albums in recent years, but this one is really good.
Well, la-dee frickin' duh!
And at number 1 on David's list of most pretentious CD releases this year, favorite CDs of the year, it's Steven Wilson, Hand Cannot Erase. Well, great job, David. Thanks so much. And I know most people probably think I'm a little rough on you. But the truth is I probably am.
You're mean.
But I think you'd agree, if you're honest, that you're very deserving of any kind of ridicule that I put on you.
Probably so.
And besides, it's all in good fun.
Yeah, right. Get out of here.
All right. Before I get out of here, I've got just enough time for a couple of questions for Ask Monty. And the first one is from Scott Gibson, who says, hey, Monty, was the Let It Go album for Galactic Cowboys kind of their white album? Meaning, it seems like Ben was no longer part of the band and therefore made few appearances, and that the songs were possibly written and then performed by individuals as opposed to being a truly band-driven album. I always wondered. Well, Scott, here's the deal with Let It Go. Alan was no longer in the band at that point, and I was living in Kansas City working on a solo album. And we didn't even know if we were going to do a final CD for Metal Blade, and so things were kind of up in the air for a while. Well, we all needed money, and when Metal Blade offered to give us some for doing that CD, we said okay. And so we hired Jerry Gaskell from King's X to play drums, and I flew down to Houston with a bunch of my demos that I'd written for my Crunchy project, and Ben and Wally had also written some songs, and we got together and we just worked them all up and started recording an album. And since I was singing lead vocals on the demos that I'd done for my Crunchy stuff, I went ahead and sang lead vocals for the songs on Let It Go. And so it wasn't that Ben was no longer a part of the band, because he was always a part of the band. I just happened to sing a lot on that album. Ben actually never wanted the band to break up, but I was kind of frustrated and things were kind of falling apart, and so that was our last CD. But looking back now, I do look at Let It Go as kind of three separate solo albums. You had my songs, Ben's songs, and Wally's songs, and there was a lot of good songs on there, but not a real band album.
Maybe he's right, maybe he's full of crap.
And finally, I got a question from my good friend Greg Skipton down in Texas, and he said, "Hey Monty, I had a question related to guitar playing. Were there any specific things that helped you when you were learning how to play?" Well, thanks for the question, Greg, and interestingly enough, I never took a lot of lessons. Like everything I do in my life, I did it the hard way.
You're a screw-up!
I had a friend show me a couple of scales, but outside of that, I pretty much just banged on that thing until I learned. But once I did learn something on there, you could not stop me from practicing. And I would stay in my room night after night, hour after hour, just playing along with the radio and my records. I'd also study what other musicians were doing, like if I saw somebody on TV playing guitar or I went to a concert, I'd sit there and watch their hands. And all my friends would be getting drunk or high, and I'd be sitting there looking at the guitar player's fingers.
What a weirdo.
But more than anything, I just listened to music that had a lot of guitar playing in it, like Thin Lizzy, Wishbone Ash.
Cool.
Pat Travers, Blue Oyster Cult.
Very cool.
The Outlaws, even Molly Hatchet.
Not cool.
And I would just play along and try to learn all those solos and chords. And all those guys like Ted Nugent, Peter Frampton, and Michael Schenker were just my heroes. And one of my favorite albums from back then was Love Drive by the Scorpions. And of course, Michael Schenker played on that album, and every time I'd hear one of those solos, I'd just do the air guitar thing, and I'd lean my head back, and just dream of being a rock star. And so what I thought I'd do to end the show today, I'm going to play the title track off that album, Love Drive, by the Scorpions, and enjoy. And to all of you, I hope you have a happy holiday, and I will talk to you again in 2016. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Yeah!
right, show's over. I'm tired.